Welcome to another episode of Spanish History 101, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Today, we are going to take you to the end of the 19th century, about the last 25 years or so, an important moment that will have an impact on Spain's volatile history in the 20th century. We are talking about the Bourbon Restoration, which was a period in Spanish history marked by the return of the Bourbon dynasty to the throne. And it began in 1874 when King Alfonso XII returned, and it ended in 1931 with the proclamation of the Second Spanish Republic. So it's a long period, but to be honest with you, I like to split it up into different parts. And today we are only going to talk about this period up to 1902, which is when Alfonso XIII is old enough to take over as king. And that's what we'll focus on today. So, as I was saying, it starts in 1874 with the return of Alfonso XII as king. The Bourbon dynasty had not been away very long. His mother, Isabel II, abdicated just 6 years before, and then another dynasty came in. There was another king who came in for a little while, and then we had a first republic. So it was 6 very active years, but we basically ended up where we started. This time, it was another military coup. There were dozens of them in Spanish history, especially during the 19th century. It was led by General Arsenio Martinez Campos, a very popular military officer general of that time, and he basically finished or put an end to the First Republic and restored the monarchy. And Alfonso XII returned from exile and was crowned king. His reign saw efforts to stabilize the country through a new constitutional monarchy established under the 1876 Constitution. His reign would not be a very long one. He would only be king for 11 years until 1885. But there was some notable things to mention here as we're talking about political stability. It's often noted that this was one of the main features of this period, especially compared to previous decades where there had been civil wars, economic problems, instability, constant coup d'etats, and this political stability began to develop. It had a name, it's called turnism, where two parties took turns running the government, and since everyone was in on it, politically speaking, that is, things were okay, things were fairly stable. It wasn't true democracy, but they felt that the republic, the first stab at a republic, had been an utter disaster, chaos, and to a certain degree, they were right. They felt that it was better to do it this way than to have a totally uncontrolled situation. But as we know, radicalism was on the rise, and anarchism was especially strong in Spain. Alfonso XII himself was the target of 2 unsuccessful assassination attempts, one by a Catalan in December of 1878, and a second try came at the hands of a Galician baker, a very frustrated baker, about a year later. Alfonso certainly had a guardian angel on his side because both assassins got clean shots off nearly at point blank, and he wasn't even wounded. It was said that these anarchists were planning to kill the monarch, the king, and trigger a new republic, but that obviously failed. Alfonso married twice. His first wife was the young and pretty Maria de las Mercedes de Orleans. They married in January of 1878 when she was just 18, but Maria de las Mercedes died just 6 months later, probably of typhoid fever. Her death was mourned throughout the country, and this story, this tragedy, has become sort of a classic love story tragedy in history. But once again, as we know, the king has a duty to have children, to ensure that the line of succession will continue. And so Alfonso XII would marry again about a year later to a woman named Maria Cristina of Austria. They would have three children. The first two were girls, and the final was a boy, and thus the future King Alfonso XIII. Now, Alfonso XII died in 1885 when Maria Cristina was still pregnant with Alfonso XIII. They had to wait until May of 1886 to find out the sex of the child, because males had preference over females in this situation. The newborn would become king, but first he had to grow up. So what happens when we have this situation? What we have is a regency, which is an adult, often the mother, who serves in a certain way as acting monarch until the son is old enough to begin with their active reign and duties, which would begin when Alfonso was 16. So we have this period of about 16 years where Maria Cristina is sort of running or acting as monarch of the country. And this is where that system I was telling you about, turnismo, the system where power alternated between the conservative and liberal parties, really took hold. It got started in what they called the Pact of El Pardo. El Pardo is a palace just to the west of Madrid. It's actually where Franco lived during his dictatorship. And it was there that the conservative leader Antonio Cánovas and the liberal leader Mateo Sagasta sort of came to an informal understanding of how they would do things. As we said, this reduced political tensions, brought certain stability, and it sounds sort of good, but in reality, it was a fake system, a fake democracy. We can actually say that the elections were rigged, but with the difference being that both parties were in on it and they were okay with it. Even the monarchy was a part of this system. The king, or the regent in this case, played a crucial role in endorsing the shift of power from one party to another to form a new government. And during the elections, you'd make sure that whatever that decision was before the elections, it had to be carried out. So in a lot of the small cities and the towns, you had local political bosses known as caciques, and they manipulated the elections to ensure the victory of the party designated. This system involved electoral fraud and coercion to make sure that the agreement was respected. We also had voter suppression practices, included rigging election results, restricting suffrage, and using patronage to control voter behavior. The conservative leader was a man named Antonio Cánovas. I just mentioned him before. He had been around for a long time. He was actually sort of the architect of this restoration period. He was one who had Alfonso XII come back in and sort of was a key proponent of this turnism. He served multiple terms as prime minister, ensuring conservative dominance during his periods in office. He was assassinated by an anarchist, no surprise there, while he was in a spa in 1897. His political rival, companion, colleague, I'm not sure how to describe it, but Mateo Sagasta, the liberal, also served several terms as prime minister, and he worked with Cánovas to maintain stability in the country. He died in 1903, but of natural causes. By that I mean he wasn't killed by an anarchist. And what else happened during this period, these 25 years? Well, you had industrialization. The period saw significant industrial growth. In a certain way, this was Spain's true industrial revolution, and it was especially important in regions like Catalonia and the Basque Country. The industrialization brought about social changes and also a rise of a working class movement, which will also play an important role in Spanish politics in the coming 30 to 40 years. There was also a big moment in culture and arts. We had Spanish literature, Galdós, and then we had the generation of 98. Art, Picasso was getting started by the end of the 19th century. And science, still, that was another area where Spain sort of had a weak history. And by this time, there was a lot of progress being made. They invented the submarine, for example. So those were some of the positive things, but there were also challenges and conflicts, political instability, which is ironic considering they had this system that was basically bent on making sure that this political situation in the country was stable. But given the times, given the situation, you had a lot of radical factions. And then you had Republicans, you had anarchists, you had regional and nationalists. The nationalist movement got very big or really started to get going during this time, especially in Catalonia and the Basque Country. These are regions that were asking for more self-rule, for more autonomy, and in some cases, actual independence. And that is something that is still affecting this country. And then abroad, there was more bad news. Spain's last major overseas colonies, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines, were lost to the United States in the famous Spanish-American War of 1898. And it was a significant blow to national pride and further fueled political unrest. In Spain, it is known as the Disaster of 98. So that should give you an idea of how the Spanish look at it. This was a crossroads between a dying empire, proudly but foolishly trying to take on a young and powerful new empire like the United States. The lopsided military results merely proved that point. It also triggered an important literary movement, which I just mentioned before, called the Generation of 98. But it was a tough time for Spain. They were sort of looking lost and disoriented. It was like, where are we going? What is our future? And they had a lot of reasons to think that way because these were certainly very unstable and uncertain times. And a few years later, Alfonso XIII would reach the age of 16 in 1902, and that is when his reign, with direct rule would begin. And with that, we enter another stage of this period of Spanish history, the Bourbon Restoration. But because it's so complex, because there's so much to tell, we're going to stop here and wait until the next episode. And that will be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave a message or a comment or a question because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. And you can even go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe. And hasta pronto.